16, the Bible says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There is a fear of death to some degree. There's a fear of, well, we don't actually know, we can't see it with the physical eye, what's going to happen. We certainly don't want to suffer. We don't want to cause any grief for our loved ones. I mean, the list is long there, and it's uncertain because we don't know the day. We don't know the hour. We don't know what's going to happen there. But the Bible says that we were in bondage to that fear because we didn't know the Lord. And we were subject to that bondage, and it's called fear. It says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? We don't know all that's on the other side, but we read about it. Amen? And we know and we can trust our God. So when faith is at work, there is no fear because faith casts out fear. But anyway, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. That's the first place in the Bible that fear not is recorded. But there's so many other verses. I want to just give you some of them. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. Prior to that, they've gone through the plagues. They're released from Egypt, or they're leaving Egypt, and they're on their way, and here's the Red Sea in front of them. Behind them, a few verses prior to that verse I just read is, behold the Egyptians. Man, they're still after us. Here come the Egyptians. They're going to destroy us. Here's the Red Sea. There's no way out of this. Here's the enemy. They're right behind us. Now comes the murmuring against Moses. And so God said, tell them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Red Sea was parted. There was a choice there. Behold the Egyptians or behold God. Trust God. Well, I don't see it yet. Stand still and see. Amen? And so many times we see the enemy or we see the problem or we see the darkness or the trial and we don't see God. And God is always saying, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen? Because he's always there. So he said to Moses, fear not. You have Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. For am I in the place of God? Remember, his brothers wanted to kill him. They hated him. They were jealous of him. They sold him into slavery. All that happened to Joseph, now he's in Egypt, and they're before him. They've come because there's a famine, but there's food in the land of Egypt. They find out this is their brother Joseph. Uh-oh. I mean, just think of that. Think of what they probably thought. This is the guy with all power. He's the one we were going to kill. He's the one we sold into slavery. Now, for that instance, they were very, very afraid. And Joseph said, and I love this, I love to be around safe people. I don't know if you know safe people. I imagine you do if you know people in the church. They're safe people. No matter what has happened, Joseph said, fear not, for am I in the place of God? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Boy, forgiveness is a wonderful thing, is it not? It's just the love of God is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And he said, fear not. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 27. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. Jonathan and David's heart were knit together. Saul, Jonathan's father, wanted to kill David. He is killed in battle along with Jonathan. But Jonathan and David were so close, and David made a promise to Jonathan. And so here's Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, and he's lame because when they were leaving the city, the nurse fell. She was carrying him, and he's lame now. So David sends for him. Is there any of the house of Jonathan that I can be kind to for Jonathan's sake? And so they find Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth comes down. Here's what they used to do. If there's a new king, all of the old king's relatives, if there was a battle, all of the old king's relatives are put to death. So nobody can rise up and become the king. Mephibosheth, say that 10 times real fast, amen? Mephibosheth is afraid. And David says, fear not. And he says, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. Amen? I mean, we could say the same thing about the Lord and about his father. You know, the Father, God, our Father, shows us kindness for Jesus' sake. And I mean, it's just save people again. Amen? Well, I wasn't expecting that response. Fear not. You know, you can get around certain people and there's just no fear. There's no fear. There's a connection. There's love. There's mercy. There's kindness, etc., etc. Ephesians chapter 4. Amen? And I mean, all of those principles are in the heart of a believer. And that's just such a blessing to be around people like that. Isaiah 41:10. God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He's safe. Anytime you go to God, he's safe. Amen? Share your deepest pain. Share what's wrong. Share the sin. Just confess it to God. He's always safe. It's just wonderful to be a Christian, is it not? Just to give you a few more references, I have 57 more references I'll quote here. Daniel 10:12, fear not, Daniel. Luke 1:13, fear not, Zacharias. Luke 1:30, fear not, Mary. Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock. Acts 27:24, fear not, Paul, etc., etc., etc. Why does God say that? Because we all deal with it. There are things we are afraid of. Everybody is afraid. Everybody. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God's faithful. He'll make a way to escape that. Elijah was a man of like passions. Like passions. So we're all the same. Amen? We're all sinners saved by grace. But there are a lot of fears. So what time I am afraid, I will trust. Here's our choice. God doesn't make you trust. Trust is an act of your will. Amen? And sometimes fear, and my wife and I were talking about this, the trials and the persecution in life can only strengthen the church. I'm talking about maybe not the building or the attendance. I'm talking about the hearts of believers. Because it takes us to God. There is a conscious choice made. We have to choose to trust God in our circumstances. And that honors him, and he shows himself strong on our behalf. Amen? You've probably experienced that in your life. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Amen to that. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Does God love you? Do all things work together for good? Amen. You know, I mean, all of the verses. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's not given us the spirit of fear. He says, fear not. And there's a way that we can conquer that fear, but it's a choice. It's a conscious choice. We have in Psalm 37 and verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And get this is probably the main verse that we're going to look at. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Fear can cause you to do the wrong thing. I remember my wife and I were coming back from Canada. We're up there preaching, and we were coming back through Detroit late at night. 1, 2 in the morning. You remember that trip? And my alternator light came on. And I'm an ace mechanic, and I know all that stuff about it. No, I did. I was afraid. I thought, man, we're going to run out of power, which I guess eventually you do because it's draining your battery. And I thought, man, I don't know where I'm at. This, you know, there's some rundown buildings. There's this, there's that. And we were getting ready to come up We were on 94, I think it was, or 96, whatever goes through there. And there's an off-ramp, and then down to a street, and there's a gas station. 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning. Do you remember much about that? Okay, yeah, I guess you do. And at the last minute, I just was so afraid of my car with my wife and I in it on the side of the road, who knows where, you know. So I went to get off the exit, but there was a curb. I didn't care. I went right over the curb. And I went right up to the gas station, and a guy told me, just keep going, you know, just keep going. He said, just get in the car and get out of here. He said, you'll probably make it home. So that's what I did, and we made it home. Amen. But because of that fear, I did something that I wouldn't normally do. And I don't know if you've ever been in a circumstance like that. Sometimes you'll say the wrong thing because of fear. Sometimes you'll do the wrong thing because of fear. And here's the thing. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Spurgeon writes this. By no reasonings and under no circumstances be led into such a course. Fretfulness lies upon the verge of great sin. Many who have indulged a murmuring disposition have at last come to sin in order to gain their fancied rights. Beware of carping at others. Study to be yourself found in the right way, and as you would dread outward sin, tremble at inward repining. In James chapter 3, the Bible tells us the tongue is set on fire of hell. It is so easy when fear comes and anger comes, because anger usually is right behind fear. And here it comes. Then what is said is very harmful. In Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible says, Nehemiah is speaking, and he says, therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin. Follow this. And that they might have a matter for an evil report that they might reproach me. Gill writes, by distrusting the power and providence of God to protect him, and by going into such a part of the temple which he, being no priest, had no right to go into, but because of fear of the enemy, I'll make a league with them and do the wrong thing. In Nehemiah chapter 6, this is what Nehemiah is saying. They're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. It's a great work for God. But he says how Sanballat came with an open letter in his hand. And what was the purpose of that? Verse 9, for they all made us afraid. We have verse 13, therefore was he hired that I should be afraid. Verse 14, that would have put me in fear. Verse 19, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Just come into the temple, and there was a ploy, there was a plot because of that. And Nehemiah said, should such a man as I do that? I'm going to trust God. God's brought me this far. I'm just going to trust him. But they did it all to put him in fear, because if he was afraid enough, he would have done this. Sounds like tribulation period. Sounds like all kinds of things in the Bible. Enough fear can make you do the wrong thing. The fear of man bringeth the snare. Look at Peter. I'll never deny you. I'll go to prison. I'll die for you. But the fear of man, he denied the Lord. Sin is right on the heels many times of that fear. People do crazy things. Genesis 3:10, Adam. And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid, and I was naked, and I hid myself. Why did Adam hide himself? Why was he afraid? He sinned, and that caused him to hide. Right? That caused him to fear when God came. So now he's afraid, and now he hides. So you had sin, fear, sin. And it just keeps on going like that. You have Genesis 31:31. Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure thou wouldst take by force thy daughters from me. Jacob is working for Laban. Laban has deceived him. He worked so many years for Rachel, got Leah. He worked so many years for Rachel. And he's getting out of Dodge. Amen. He's sneaking out of town. And that's what he did. And then when Laban catches up to him, he says, well, this is why I did it. Laban didn't do anything to him. But he said, the reason I did this is I was afraid you were going to do this, which he didn't. Amen? But I was afraid. Sometimes you're afraid something's going to happen, and you make a decision, and you sneak. Maybe you don't sneak. Amen? Okay, this is very convicting. I'm looking at everybody, so you don't say, why is he looking at me? You know? Amen? Okay. So, sometimes, because we're afraid of a certain circumstance, we do something that we wouldn't normally do if we were not afraid. Matthew 25:25, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. 1 Samuel 15:24, Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Maybe it's just an excuse. Maybe there's substance to that. Saul did the wrong thing. He went in and he sought the Lord, and that was Samuel's job. And so the kingdom's taken from him. But he said, I did this because I feared the people. Fear imprisons, faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. Fear sickens, faith heals. Fear makes useless. Faith makes serviceable. And most of all, fear puts hopelessness at the heart of life, while faith rejoices in its God. And there's a choice. I can be afraid, or I can trust. I can fear, or I can have faith. Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. And no one was there. I like that. That's really good. What time I am afraid, I will trust. I will trust and not be afraid. Those are two Bible verses. That is our choice. Max Lucado wrote this: fear, Satan's mode of operation, is to manipulate you with the mysterious, to taunt you with the unknown. Fear of death, fear of failure, fear of God, fear of tomorrow. His arsenal is vast. His goal, to create cowardly, joyless Christians, souls. He doesn't want you to make one journey to the mountain. He figures if he can rattle you enough, you will take your eyes off the peaks and settle for a dull existence in the flatlands. That is exactly what's going on in this day and age. The devil is the prince and the power of the air. The air. The airwaves, too. Amen. And all of this. Well, where can I get something encouraging? Oh, just go to the internet. Well, just turn on the news and just free like a bird. You know, wow, I'm just so happy. See what God has to say. Amen. That's the blessing. I don't know who wrote this, but I think it's good. Many a man threatens while he quakes for fear. And that fear does produce something that's not good. It produces an anger. Fear can be the door to great faith or great folly. And again, here's our choice. We can see this fear, we can see this trial, this opposition, this condition, and we can say, okay, God, how do you want me to handle this? What do you want me to do? Don't make the decision based on fear. Psalm 37:1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Verse 7 in the same psalm, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Couple more. Proverbs 24:19. Fret not thyself because of evil men. Leviticus 13:55. Speaking about leprosy, it is a fret inward. The plague is a fretting leprosy. And I've gone into detail about that in other messages, but leprosy starts inside. It's systematic. It doesn't start outward and work in. It starts inward and works out. And pretty soon, the sores and maybe the fingers fall off. I mean, it's just awful. It's because fretting leprosy. And that's what God is saying here. Don't fret, because once you let it start in here, it affects your sleep. It affects your health. It affects what you say. It affects everything, because it's fretting all of the time. I'm afraid. I have all of these fears. 1 Kings 8:38. What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, to spread forth his hands toward this house. The plague of our heart is we are carnal. Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. When you read the works of the flesh, you identify with those, because that's who we are. But we have a choice, don't we? I can love rather than hate. I can trust rather than be afraid. And you just go down through the list. Fret means to rub, to wear away a substance by friction, to corrode, to gnaw, to eat away. I don't want that in my life. And when I do fret, I feel it. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's just eating away at you. What's eating you? That's what they say. Fear, here's a definition. A painful emotion, painful, or passion excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger, anxiety. Fear not, fret not. Why is God saying that? Because it ruins your spirit and it affects your life. Dread, great fear or apprehension of evil or danger. Deuteronomy 1:29, about the enemy. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. 1 Chronicles 22:13. Be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. God doesn't want us to dread, to fret, or to fear. Amen? So when that comes into our life, we're to trust. Now, I'm not saying if there's a concern, a health concern, God will take care of it. Go to the doctor. Amen? I mean, there's things that... Here's my car. Well, okay. It's chugging along. I'm on 94 going 20 miles an hour. 94 going 20 miles an hour, you know. And this is wrong and that's wrong. I'm just afraid. Get the car fixed. Amen. There's certain things that we do. But there are things God does not want us to fear. Fear leads to all kinds of wrongdoing. Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. There is fear without trust, there is trust without fear, and there is fear and trust united. I want to be able to trust God so that I don't have to fear. Amen? There's so much unknown. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. There's the choice again. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Carl Rogers wrote this, I have found that the very feeling that has seemed to me most private, most personal, and hence most incomprehensible by others, has turned out to be an expression for which there is resonance in many other people. This is so true. Scott, I fear. You fear. My wife, Linda, fears. You fear. Candy, there's things you're afraid of. I mean, it affects all of us. And we think, oh, that's just private. That's just me. I just don't have enough faith. I'm not trusting enough. It affects all of us. I could name a bunch of things that I fear today. I could just name them. And God tells me, don't be afraid, fret not, dread not, be anxious for nothing, right? Whatsoever is lovely, think on these things. And I mean, you just go down through, why is all that in the Bible? Because I'm afraid, Richard. There's things you fear. Scott, that's Scott. Amen? Yeah. Gino, there's things we all fear, like messing up a sermon. Amen? Or saying they're calling the wrong person. I mean, there's things that we fear. We all do. So God says, faith. Because this will eat you. This will destroy you. This will cause you to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, make a wrong decision, sin. Sin, because I'm afraid. And it's what the devil uses over and over. Genesis, little Bible lesson here. Genesis is the seed book of the Bible. When something is mentioned in Genesis, you find that principle all the way through. Satan lied, amen, to Eve and to Adam. And you come to John 8:44, I think it is. He was a liar from the beginning. He abode not in the truth. Ye are of your father the devil. And so you find that true about the devil all the way through. All the way through the Bible, God is telling us, don't be afraid. I have a work for you to do. I'm going to use you. I'm going to bless you. No matter what it is, I am here. Just trust me. This Rogers goes on. He says, it has led me to believe that what is most personal and unique in each one of us is probably the very element that would, if it were shared or expressed, speak most deeply to others. This has helped me to understand artists and poets who have dared to express the unique in themselves. Somebody who is honest will share that. You read all the hymns, amen? Why are they writing that? I think it connects us. I think we find out that nobody is above mortality, carnality, but God. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so when the fear comes, I don't think, oh man, what a great Christian. They're never afraid of anything. Are you kidding? I mean, and the devil will attack everybody. Amen. Everybody. There are so many things we can fear today. And I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about personal things. Just, I'm afraid. So God says, don't be afraid. Trust me. Don't be afraid. Run into my high tower. Run into my castle. Hide thyself in me. Use my word. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. We have Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. There's I can fear, I can run, I can sin, I can whatever, or I can trust. And when you trust, God helps. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I just want to read a couple other verses connected with that. This is verse 2 of that same psalm. That was verse 1. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He'll strengthen your heart. He may not take the circumstances away, but he will strengthen your heart. We have Alexander McLaren, who said, only he who can say, the Lord is the strength of my life, can say, of whom shall I be afraid? If the Lord is the strength of your life, there's nothing to fear. Because you're strengthened with strength in the inner man. Because that's where the fear comes from. Amen? It's trust. It's faith. Emerson wrote this. The wise man in the storm prays to God, not for safety from danger, but for deliverance from fear. It is the storm within which endangers him, not the storm without, because of so many foolish decisions that are made because of fear. Amen? pray that God keeps your spirit right. I remember, and you probably remember, because I think I wore it out in our prayer meetings, but I said one of the things the devil always wants to do is ruin your spirit. Because if he can ruin your spirit, everything else follows that. If our spirit is strong, if our love for God is strong, we can march through the fear. We can trust God and do something for him. Be careful that shame doesn't ruin your spirit. Be careful that fear doesn't cause you to be angry. Be careful that dread doesn't lead you into sin. Be careful that fretting doesn't eat you away to nothing, because it will. And again, it all comes back to choice. Oswald Chambers said, "It is not our trust that keeps us, but the God in whom we trust that keeps us." The God in whom we trust. God, I don't understand this. I don't see any way out. I have no idea how you're going to work in my life, but I trust you. Amen? I trust you, because all things work together for good. And it is impossible for God to lie, and he said he'd always be there and help us. Amen? Just trust him. In a little bit, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And as we do, we are expressing our belief and our trust in God that he's coming again. In just a little while, we're going to celebrate Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And it's a special day, because we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And because of that, we believe he's coming for us. Amen? O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? One of these days, we will all be together in heaven. I don't understand that. You know, neither do I, but I believe it. I believe it. There are dark days. There are dark days. And the church has gone through dark days. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, or you read some of the things that took place in the past, or even the Book of Acts, it's been dark. We're pretty much in good shape, wouldn't you say? I mean, we have food to eat, where nobody's beating us or throwing us in prison. That could happen, but I mean, look at today. We have the opportunity to serve God, to witness to people about our faith, to bring other people to church so they can hear a message from God. We have the opportunity to do that. Nobody's denying that yet. You say, well, that could happen next week. Yeah, but it's not happening this week. Let's take advantage. Amen? Well, I'm afraid. I don't want to do this. Trust God. Do what's right. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, help us. Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, that they would accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, because that will give them the power of God. That will give them the wisdom of God in their heart. And Father, I pray that as we go through this life, we will not fear, but will trust. Fear is so crippling, so damaging, so harmful. I pray that a lost person would ask Jesus to be their Savior, and a saved person today would ask Jesus to be their strength. May our faith just be so strong, Lord, that nothing would hinder us from honoring you. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' precious name.